Where's the beer, Tom?
What?
The beer. Where's the beer?
I thought you were getting the beer.
You what? No beer? You idiot, Tom. You total idiot. That was your job, you complete moron. You cretin. That's what you are. A total and utter cretin.
It was a joke, Rob. I was joking. It was a Christmas joke.
Oh. I see.
Of course I got the beer. It's from Beer 52. I got 8 specially themed beers, and there are snacks and even an award-winning magazine for just £5.95 postage. I researched it all online. All I had to do was go to beer52.com/peep.
That sounds like a lovely case of beers. I'm sorry I flew off the handle a bit.
That wasn't very Christmassy.
No, it wasn't. I apologise. So if I wanted to get my own free case of beer, how would I go about doing that?
Well, to get your first free case of beers, simply head to beer52.com/peep. You'll get 8 specially themed beers, a couple of snacks, and that award-winning magazine. All you need to do is pay the £5.95 for postage.
Brilliant. Cheers.
Hello and welcome to Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs, a podcast all about discussing and reviewing the British sitcom Peep Show. My name's Tom Harrison, and of course I'm always joined by Rob Graham.
Hello!
And we are going to, this week, obviously we've finished all of series 1 to 9, we've reviewed every single episode now, so one of the few things we've got left to do is to decide which is the best Peep Show episode. And to do that, we're going to go through our top 10 Peep Show episodes to discuss, you know, what our favourites are, where Rob and I might have slightly different tastes, and then at the end, we're going to compare our thoughts with the IMDb, which is the sort of the general consensus from people across the internet is, and see how we compare. How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, I'm good. I found this really hard, and I feel like I've missed a really obvious episode, so I'm waiting to get, first of all, lambasted by you for forgetting a really obvious episode, and then getting people atting us on Twitter to tell us that we've forgotten a really obvious one. So I had a lot of fun doing it. I feel like, because we haven't done we didn't do a series 8 or 9 ranking, did we? We did a 1-2,
no.
A 3-4. We then combined 5, 6, and 7 because we were trying to get the David Mitchell episode done. So we were like, we had a weird sort of gap around Christmas last year where we ended up with like not enough time to really do the reviews or something properly, I seem to remember. So we ended up combining 5, 6, and 7. So we haven't done an 8 and 9. Without spoiling too much, I will say that I've got some from 8 and 9 in my top 10, so maybe we can sort of discuss those a little bit more within that. But I think I'd have found a series 8 and 9 review quite hard to do, because actually there's a lot of strong episodes in 8 more so than 9, but I think that would have been an interesting one to do.
Yeah, I mean, we did think about doing it, but I think given if we did a rankings of 8 and 9 and then did our kind of overall rankings, I thought it might be a bit overkill. And given that 8 and 9 seem to have a bit of a bad rep, thought maybe it would be best to just kind of do the top 10. But I also have a couple of series 8, 9 episodes in my list as well, so it'd be interesting to see if we pick the same ones. Shall we get into it then?
Well, should we shout out our patrons first? I know you don't care about them anymore, mate, but I think it'd be quite nice to say hello to them.
Absolutely.
So, I won't edit that bit out. Let's keep that bit in. I'm the one who cares about you guys. So a massive shout out to Andrew Kennedy, Ian Webb, Steve Maunder, Stuart Hancock, Edgardo Martinez, Hannah Ostrov, Bent Bartow, Rakeen Patel, Brandon Jackson, Drew Allen, Gareth Stevens, Jamie from Up and Running, Joe Sims, Sean Smith, Caroline Murray, Rory Robinson, Rob Craik, Adam Dawn, Eric Lenz, David Butler, Vijay Bal, Katka Skokowska, Stephen Darrensett, Justin Dunleavy, Jason Martin, Nick Howard, Simon Darlington, Eleanor Wall, Benjamin Price, Olivia Kelmatoy, Steve Morano, Sarah McDaniel, Dee Bizzle, John Barker, Isaac Morgan, Ash Krishner, Stuart Hill, John C. Ralston, Jonathan Gardner, Tim Chamberlain, Jessica Isler, Michael Collins, John Fraser, Joel Johansson Byberg, Alex Watson, Doug Simpson, Andrew Mason, Daniel Thompson, Laurie Johnson, Tricia Atenzia, and Robert Horvath, Darren Friedrichs, Dave Pink, and Mike Kavanagh. Big shout out to you all.
There we go. Yeah, big shout out to you. I do love you all as well. but I must have been, I'm just excited to get going. So should we start with our number 10s? We'll sort of take turns and we'll kind of work our way up to number one. Do you want to go first, Rob, with your number 10?
So my number 10... I'm waiting for the blowback from this. My number 10 is Series 3, Episode 3, and it's Shrooming.
Interesting. That doesn't even make my top 10.
Okay.
So, why don't you talk about that then? If it's not on my list, why don't you jump into why that is in your top 10?
So, I was really...
Because I know it is a popular one.
I was really aware when I was doing this, so I just to give a bit of background to how I sort of worked it out, and I think Tom did it slightly differently, was I basically just threw my 10 into a note. I then roughly sort of worked out what my top five were, and then the other five kind of just slotted in. And when you hear my other four within my top bottom five, you'll sort of realise why Shrooming was there. I was really conscious that I didn't have many from pre-series four. So like we've talked a lot about how the episodes get a lot stronger once it really hits its stride in series, well, end of three, beginning of four, and I was really conscious. So I've got this one from episode from series three. Actually, no, to be fair, I've got another one from series three and a series two. So actually I have got a couple of that early. I just felt like I wanted to sort of throw back to an earlier series, and I just think like it's so bizarre, like it's a really odd episode, because we talked when we recorded about Shrooming, and that's like 2 years ago, but we talked about how odd and bizarre it is, and how it's almost like Brinks on the point of being unrealistic, like when you've got the Shrooming and the sectioning episodes that all seem a really bit bizarre. But I just think this episode within that series is a real sort of standout one. You've got like Mark at his absolute sort of weakest, still having like Johnson sort of riding to the rescue. They haven't gone through their sort of tumultuous sort of up and down sort of relationship really by this point. Jeremy is just showing himself like terribly, very much like how I imagine Mark would show himself in the same situation. But like just so selfish and so willing to sort of shit on his friend in order to like get his leg over with Big Sue's. And it's just like verges on like slapstick, but in a really good way. I think like the, like Jez trying to keep Big Sue's from noticing Mark, Mark's trying to sort of break his way out of the, break his way out of his room to get to the toilet. It's just brilliant. Like I know that it is one of those sort of like real love it or hate it episodes, and I think I can see why people fall down on either side. It's got some cracking one-liners. And of course I should mention that it has got the like first appearance of Big Red Andy, which is always gonna tickle my pickle.
Shout out Mr. Noble, yeah. I do think Shrooming is a great episode. I think for me it just kind of tips slightly over the edge in kind of some of its silliness, perhaps. Not even that much. I don't know, there was just something about it where I listed sort of like a, I don't know, 15, 17, sort of the ones that just kind of first came to mind. And I had to, you know, cull seven of them to make that top 10, and Shrooming just didn't quite, I don't know, other than the famous pooing and the door being smashed, like I don't know, there weren't enough kind of like big moments that kind of like, there weren't enough of them that came to mind quickly. So it just kind of slipped out, unfortunately. But I can see why you've put it in there, and I know it's a very, very popular one, particularly from the earlier series. So yeah, no kind of arguments from me, really.
Okay, give me your number 10 then.
My number 10, I do feel like might be a little bit controversial as well, because I've gone with Holiday, so Series 4, Episode 5, sort of fondly known as the Stag Do episode.
I feel like that's controversial because you've put it so low.
Yeah, I know. So I as I was writing it, I thought this would be kind of unpopular from me. I'm just not as big a fan of this one as maybe I perhaps should be, because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I think it's fantastic. I mean, there aren't many episodes of Peep Show that I don't like, you know, like, at all. I kind of like every single one of them, if not love them. But when it came to making this list, I was just kind of, I got it down to the top sort of, I think I'd like 11 or 12, and I was trying to do, like, you know, these ones that were sort of hovering near the bottom. I was like, is it better than this one? Yes or no? And I just couldn't place it above the episodes in my top nine. So it was actually kind of close to dropping out completely. But I just felt that it was kind of so iconic that it kind of had to at least feature. But I just couldn't put it above any of the other nine.
I think from my perspective, it's the episode that I would show somebody if I was trying to introduce them to Peep Show, which is why I've got it. I've got it in my top 10. I'm not going to tell you where I've got it, but it's not in my top 5.
Okay.
So, obviously, it doesn't take a genius to work out there's only 400 spaces.
So we're not a world apart, at least.
No, and I think I had the same issue as you, where I had it. So I've done my, I did my, like, top 5-ish, and then I had, like, Shrooming, and I was like, all of these can sort of go roughly around here. And then I was really surprised when Holiday was kind of the one that was left, and I was like, but then yeah. When I looked at my top four, I was like, or my top five, I was like, I can't really see it going any higher than that.
That's exactly how I felt. Yeah, I think it's got loads of great stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, any kind of show, episode, film, you know, where the stag do is involved, it's bound to be good. I think it's got the, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, episodes where they kind of throw them out their comfort zone, you know, we're out sort of in the wild. I always think that's kind of a, you know, a great ingredient for a great episode. I think the introduction of the new characters, the two sisters, are really, really great. I think it just goes slightly too far, a little bit like Shrooming perhaps, but I think with Holiday it goes even further, where I don't actually find the dog eating, like, I personally think it's a bit overrated. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I love this episode, but I find the act of the dog eating, I don't find that funny. I've said this before, I think it's more like the build up and, you know, the opportunities for them to kind of back out of this, you know, whole scenario. That's kind of where, you know, the humor lies for me. But I just don't completely buy into the events of this episode. Just the way they let it go and go and go. Actually, one of my favourite episodes is when they're trying to burn it in the woods. That's probably the height of the, you know, the dog-related shenanigans for me, with Mark not wanting to pay for the fire lighters. That's the bit where I'm laughing most. Whereas actually kind of like the, you know, the bit that's supposed to be the big payoff, and sure, it is for like 99%, I'm sure, of Peep Show fans. And like you say, it's probably one of the episodes that you go to if you want to get someone into Peep Show. It's a great one. But for me, I don't know, just maybe like the biggest joke doesn't quite hit as well as, you know, it does for other people, clearly. But I had to include it. So it's in at number 10.
And it's also a good episode within an incredibly strong series. I think if it was in any other series,
yeah,
it might stand out a little bit more. But I think because Series 4, I think, is quite openly regarded as the best overall series, it might be a better episode. Obviously, it wouldn't have fitted in anywhere else, but I think it might have been a better episode if it had been in Series 5 or Series 6, let's say. But yeah, let's move on to number 9. I feel like this is another one that you will have in your top 10, but you will have higher than I've got it.
Okay.
And that is Series 6, Episode 1, Jeremy at JLB.
Yeah, great pick. I do have this in my top 10, yep. But I can't confirm where it is just now.
But clearly higher than where I've got it.
Yes.
I don't think I need to really say that much about Jeremy at JLB. Like, it's a very, very strong episode for Mark in the sense of, like, in the fact that it is that arc of he's coming up, and then within like 15 minutes he's on his ass, everything's gone wrong, he's then coming back up again with this whole like being the chairman of the life raft thing just to have crushed that again. It's just got a fantastic character arc for him. It's got some of the most quotable bits of Peep Show I think in here as well. A lot of the like obviously the Frankfurt part from Johnson. Yeah, I don't really have tons to sort of to say about it. I couldn't not include it. And actually it was one that when I'd done 9, I'd written 9 of them out without any order, and I think this was possibly the last one I put on my list because I suddenly went, I feel like I've missed one that's really obvious. Oh yeah, Jeremy at JLB, which sort of shows it shouldn't have gone any higher because the rest of my list almost kind of wrote itself.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I won't touch on my thoughts on Jeremy JLB just yet, yeah, because I definitely have it in my top 10 and it's certainly further north than 9. But yeah, did you want to add anything else about Jeremy at JLB?
I don't think so. I think when we recorded the episode at the time, I think we sort of both waxed lyrical about it, about how great it was. It's also, I tell you what, it's also got, and I did share the extra clip, but if anyone hasn't listened to it, this was the clip I was talking about in the American Pilot episode where this is the episode where they do the added feature of the thing with the voiceover, the canned laughter, which I referenced on the last episode. Right. That's from this episode.
Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, not too much to add to this one. I think we can go into it in a bit more detail when we get to where it is on your list, but I'm guessing it's considerably higher. What have you got at number 9?
Okay, so my number 9, I think you might have a bit of a problem.
Oh,
with this
I know
one.
What this is going to be.
Interesting. Okay, we'll see. My number 9 is Series 7, Episode 4, which is Nether Zone.
Yes, I've got that considerably higher.
Yeah, so I imagine this was probably going to be sort of in your top 5 maybe even, but we'll have to wait and see for that. But I thought it's got to have a place in the top 10 for me simply because of what it kind of achieves as a bottle episode. Well, nearly a bottle episode. We do kind of move around a little bit, but I think that I would say at least 90% of this episode is in that one location, and that location is incredibly mundane, the self-titled Nether Zone, but with it they create what I think is kind of like a masterclass in comedy. Like, there are no bells and whistles, no jazz hands or anything. It is just exceptional writing and two top performances by both Mitchell and Webb, and I just think what they can do in that small space, and you know, the way they can, you know, get the letterbox involved with the pizza sheath and all of that stuff, the cupboard under the stairs, should we jump out the window, I just think they really kind of dig deep into that space and kind of really made the most of it. And you often kind of associate bottle episodes being a sort of like a budget issue. I'm not sure whether that was the case in this one. Probably likely, but I think actually out of it, which I think often is the case actually, you know, when you kind of restrict yourself, it gets the creative juices flowing even more, and I just think they did a really, really top job, Sam and Jesse writing this, putting it together, and I think, yeah, David and Rob just put in a great performance to kind of tie it up all nicely. So yeah, it definitely had to be in my top 10. It was, It was hard. I thought this would be higher when I was kind of going into it, but again, it was just one of those where I kind of couldn't put it higher than, yeah, the rest. It was really, really tricky.
Well, but you've kind of said everything I will later say about it, so we might
I do apologize.
Sort of skip through it, but yeah, I think it's considerably higher on my list. It's not my number one, I'll tell you that. But it is considerably higher on my list. At number 8, I have got Series 5, Episode 2, which is Spin War.
Interesting. Good episode. I don't think I have anything from Series 5 in my list. I'm just having a look. I don't. Series 5 is completely missing. Tell me all about Spin War, then.
Well, again, we've talked about Series 5 not necessarily being the strongest episode. Although, when I looked through it to see if there were any that I sort of wanted to include, I've always really liked the Jeremy's Manager episode, even though it's not particularly highly rated, I don't think. There is something I just quite like about them both being put in their place. And the Jeremy's Mummy episode, which is also quite a sort of stupidly funny episode. any episode where somebody ends up sort of getting put in their place by multiple people ends up being quite funny. But yeah, so Spin War, I think we're in the sort of the post-wedding haze. We've sort of had the burgling episode where the wedding doesn't really get touched on that much. I feel like they go through the motions in the burgling episode, and then the Spin War episode is when it really sort of comes back to what Mark has done to Sophie, which is a very clever way of doing it, and reflects more on the burgling episode necessarily than Spin War. But it's another one of those episodes similar to the Jeremy at JLB episode, which is almost like a mini sort of, not a mini film, but like a mini episode, like one of those episodes that you feel like you've been watching it for ages when you've actually it's only been on for sort of like, well, the standard sort of like 23, 24 minutes. You've obviously got the introduction of Dobby, who at this point is just incredibly perfect for Mark. And it's almost like the sort of, you can't imagine where this person has been all of Mark's life, because he's just got married to the person that he sort of comes to almost loathe by the time he gets married to her. And then he sort of turns round in this episode and Dobby's sitting there gnawing on a man cheddar. Like, it is fantastic we've waited for this to happen, and the way that Sam and Jesse have written it so that he gets introduced to this sort of equally socially inept person. They have very sort of socially inept dry humping sex in the cupboard, which I don't think they could have done any better. Like, it's the most awkward scene I think you can have in Peep Show, and they filmed it and acted it absolutely perfectly. Once again, it's another one of those episodes that I sort of put in quite early. I don't think it could have made it any higher than it was, but I wanted to do justice in my list to all of the series rather than necessarily go, because I could have easily gone, right, I'm going to pick 4 that are all in sort of series 7 or series 4. So part of it was sort of wanting to spread it out a little bit more and do justice to some of the episodes that aren't necessarily the most amazing ones. But I didn't want to sort of like narrow it down to just 2 series, because that's not, I don't want that to reflect the rest of the show. So Spin War, I've got at 8, like I said. I could have possibly, what have I got at number 7? No, actually, yeah, to be fair, I couldn't have squeezed it past what I've got next.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, good choice, Series 5. Like I say, I don't have anything from Series 5. So I think, yeah, I do like your reasoning. I think Spin War, like you say, the burgling episode is a bit of a sort of a, almost like a buffer, sort of just kind of gets us started, and then it really kind of kicks off with Spin War and the aftermath of the wedding and everything, introducing Dobby, who of course, you know, we don't know at the time, but is kind of set up actually that she's clearly, you know, someone kind of on Mark's wavelength. So you think, oh, there might be something here, and sure enough, you know, the next 2-3 series or whatever are very much going to focus on Dobby. So I think, yeah, while I didn't even kind of consider it for my top 10, I think that's still a pretty good pick, actually.
Thank you very much.
That sounded really condescending, didn't it? I genuinely think that. So my number 8 is series 2, episode 1, and that is Dance Class, also perhaps known as Rainbow Rhythms.
This one didn't even factor in. I haven't got this in my top 10.
Oh, interesting. See, I thought I might get slammed a little bit for not having this higher up, so it's interesting that you don't have it at all. For me, I just think it really kind of started series 2 with a bang, and I think series 2 is up there among probably like the top 3 series, and I think Dance Class does a great job of sort of setting the tone and the pace for this series, and I just think it's, I've talked before about, I think the opening for series 1, Warring Factions, is actually among the weakest episodes like of the whole run. I still like it, like I say, don't get me wrong, I love them all, but I don't think it does a great job of really kind of, I mean, it's very rare, isn't it, that you kind of, you know, hit the ground running for a series, particularly a comedy. So I just think I think Dance Class really does a great job of that. And I think, yeah, it kind of sets up for one of the best series. So that's why I've got it in my top 10. I remember I was looking back over some of my old notes, and I remember sort of, I made loads of them for this episode. The amount of great dialogue, the internal monologues included. I just thought that I ended up writing so many notes for it that it kind of got a little bit ridiculous. And I watched this one again last night as we were just kind of watching Peep Show for fun, which is a rarity these days. And I was still amazed that, you know, I was thinking, oh, you know, that's really good. That's really good. Like, keeping in mind that we were recording this. I just thought Mark's attempts to win Sophie back after the unfortunate events from the cottage at the end of series 1 is really good. The way he's kind of, he's just a real fish out of water in this episode at the dance class, which is in kind of sharp contrast to Jez, who kind of fits right in with his kind of slight kind of hippie nonsense. Meeting Nancy, which kind of sets up the whole series. And I just think it's really nice to see Jez kind of gets a little bit of love in this, where I found series 1, and to be honest, most of Peep Show actually, is very kind of Mark-centric in terms of like the romance side. Like, sure, Jeremy has like his sort of string of lovers or whatever, but in terms of like relationships, like, it's very kind of Mark-centric. But Jez in this one has the introduction of Nancy, and Tony is still very much a thing, sort of returning from series 1. And I just thought it was interesting, kind of two women that he's kind of clearly then, you know, leaning towards Nancy, but he kind of wants to keep Tony a little bit, you know, he was only saying that he loved her at the start. You've got the fact that Gwen comes in and is competing for Nancy, while Tony also has Tony, so there's quite a lot going on in this episode. We spoke at length about Gwen. I know you're not a fan. He's kind of one of the one episode characters that we, I think, the majority of the Peep Show fans probably loathe. But I think he makes a nice foil for Jez. He's kind of even like the next level of kind of bullshit from Jez. So he makes a nice kind of adversary for him. Yeah, I just thought all round, really good dialogue, great monologues, and kind of just kind of really gets Peep Show going for a strong second series.
Well, you make a very strong case. I don't regret not putting it in my list, but I think my issue with it, not issue, but the reason it didn't make it in my top 10, in a similar vein to the reason that you don't like Holiday because of the dog scene, or part of the reason you don't like it is the dog scene, I just feel like this episode, the strongest part of it, is known for one scene. Like, it's really famous because of the Rainbow Rhythm scene, and I feel like that's why people like it, rather than it being a strong episode overall.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something, actually. Yeah, maybe my judgment was slightly clouded, I don't know. I'm certainly confident about it being in my top 10, and it is at number 8, in fairness, so it didn't climb that high.
Yeah, but it's still 10, it's still 8th in your list of 54 episodes, so it's still very, very high. But it leads on nicely to what I've got at number 7, which is Series 2, Episode 2, which is Jeremy Makes It.
Okay, interesting. We are very close in this aspect then. So I have this at number 6.
Okay, yeah, so we can sort of touch on it together.
Yeah.
Again, I think this is another one of those episodes that doesn't really need too much saying about it. I think it's the only episode that I can think of off the top of my head where you have two incredibly strong separate storylines with two very strong one-off characters that we don't end up, obviously, don't end up seeing again. That's why they're a one-off character. where the storylines are very separate and they end up coming back together for a considerable part of the episode rather than just like tokenistically at the end. Mark comes into, or rather Jeremy comes into the Daryl storyline. Well, they come into each other's storylines effectively, don't they? Because they need Daryl to do the recording that he needs to do for GOG and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it just shows Mark at his... Well, actually, showing a relative, we haven't really got time to go into the psychology of Mark in this episode. But like, he does eventually stand up to Daryl. It takes him nearly the entire episode to do it. But actually, it's one of the few times that Mark isn't a sort of a spineless weasel. And Jeremy, thinking at the beginning of the episode that he's got a real sort of... not moral high ground, that's not what I mean, but he's like, there's somebody that he feels he's above in the food chain, only to very quickly realise that this guy is basically going to shit on him and do whatever he wants to him for the rest of the episode, and really, really sort of goes to town on him. The kebab scene, which I know, like, I don't like picking episodes purely based on how quotable they are, but that is one of the most quotable scenes in the entire show. And obviously this episode has also got the Four Narn scene in it, so there's two very, very quotable things which immediately draw people into this episode, because you might be watching this episode going, oh, I'm gonna stick on randomly Series 2 Episode 2, and then all of a sudden you get hit with the, oh, and you've also got the Crack Is Really Moorish, haven't you? So you've got three of probably two of the three most quotable things from Peep Show are in this episode. So if you were just a casual viewer and you were watching this and you were hit with the Crack Is Really Moorish and Four Narn Jeremy, you'd be like, oh my God, like this is almost automatically a good episode just purely based on that.
Yeah, definitely kind of generated a lot of the Peep Show memes. One of my other favourites is the longer the note. You know, you want to create a powerful sense of dread. The longer the note, the more dread.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So I do think, yeah, this one in particular does an incredible job of kind of generating those sorts of, you know, quotables. And it makes you wonder, does it, like, whether, you know, Sam and Jesse writing this stuff, like, do they ever think that this Four Narn thing would be so iconic? Probably not. It's kind of a bit of a throwaway joke, really, isn't it? But it's something that people have just latched onto. And I think it's, you know, credit to David Mitchell for the, I think the delivery does a lot for it, like so many of Mark's lines. But yeah, it's so simple.
Well, also, this episode came out in November 2004. So whilst not pre-internet, it was certainly pre-social media.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine, like... I can't imagine they ever write things thinking, this is going to be the tagline, or this is going to be what people are going to remember. And I do wonder how that Four Narn thing really became the meme that it has grown to be, where basically anytime anything related back to four happens, somebody will create a Peep Show meme based on it. But yeah, so you said you got this at number 6.
I do, yeah. So, well, shall I go to my number 7 first, and then I can always touch on my number 6. I don't want to throw it out of order too much. So I'll go to number 7, which for me is Series 9. So me probably can guess which one this is already. It's Series 9, Episode 3, and that is Threeism.
Okay.
At number 7.
So I've got that. I've also got that in my top 10. It is in my top 5, so... See, a little bit higher than you've got it.
Cool. Okay. Well, To kind of start with, I just thought this did come to mind quite quickly, which I was pleased with, because I've said this before, I'll say it again, that Series 9, in my opinion, gets a bit of a hard time from fans, and I don't really think that's entirely fair. Like, it's not my favourite series, like, far from it, but I don't think it's terrible at all. So I think maybe it's just the fact that Peep Show went away for a while and came back, and it didn't kind of set the world on fire to the extent, you know, the same level as, you know, Series 2, 4 and 7, which are kind of my probably top three. But I still think that Threeism is a really, really top episode, and it's kind of like the jewel of Series 9. And I just think it's because it kind of it brings that incredible range of characters together. Similarly to Seasonal Beatings, which may very well feature in my list elsewhere, but it kind of just drags a load of sort of unlikely dinner guests together for this meal that, you know, no one kind of, 24 hours earlier, they had no idea what was in store for them, and they'll never forget it, kind of for all these bad reasons, but it just kind of, it's so memorable for me. There's so much going on, and this episode is also like nearly a bottle episode. Like, so much of this happens in the flat, and it's just getting all of these people together that you wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't normally be mingling, and just magic happens. I just think it's kind of one great line, one great exchange after the next. There's so much going on between the, you know, the complications of Jez and Joe and Megan, to Mark with April and Angus. There's lots going on each side, and a lot of kind of, you know, cross wires and things. I just think it just kind of creates a bit of magic. And Peep Show doesn't really normally do many kind of like big dinner scenes, but I would say this and the Seasonal Beatings ones are just really great for kind of getting people around the table. And again, it's the great writing, great characters, and they just kind of, the descending into chaos that we kind of get to play witness to is just excellent.
I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head with everything, again, with everything that I was sort of going to touch on with that. I think the fact that nearly the entire episode is based in, well, certainly the back end of the episode is based within the flat. And even, I suppose, most of the episode, even though April and Angus and Joe and Megan aren't all there, a lot of the episode is still based in the flat. It's only really the opening scene with Mark in the bookshop, isn't it? Where he's out of there. And so I think whenever they don't have the chance to escape from where they are, whether that's Mark, so Mark at no point, he comes back with this plan in his head how it's going to work, and then it slowly sort of degenerates. Although by the end of it, it hasn't really ended too badly for him at this point. It's sort of, he's reached the peak almost at the beginning of the episode, and it's then watching how it's going to unfold for the rest of it. And it's an episode we get to where a lot of the time we reach a conclusion in both of the storylines by the end of the episode. Whereas this one, the Jeremy and Megan and Joe one, I suppose you do to a certain extent, because you get, like, they get the plan in place, if you like.
Yeah.
But the Mark one doesn't really have a culmination, does it? He sort of like ends up seeing the night away with Angus talking about whatever he wants to talk about, and God and religion and the Trinity or whatever it is that they end up going off to discuss. It's one of those episodes where you don't get a conclusion particularly. Like, it is interesting. But like I said, I've got this higher. I think any episode where it's basically centered around one location is always harder to do. And there's so much more dialogue. You're relying so much more on the ability to act it and to script it well, because you can't rely as much on the transitions and the movement, because they're basically all sitting around a dining table. Although there's plenty of movement under the table, which is kind of what leads to some of the problem. But you can't rely on the physical comedy as much. Of like, you're working with the dining table and some plates and some drinks, and you sort of like, right, go for it from here. Which I know Peep Show isn't a heavily budgeted or resourced it doesn't rely on special effects, it doesn't rely on big budget scenes, but in a similar way to what you said about Nether Zone, it's like finding what can be funny out of really banal, like things like, oh, we've got some cheese, we're going to draw some lines on it, we're going to put some beans and some egg and some pasta together, like all of these things just shouldn't be funny but just really, really are.
Yeah, and I think the fact that having the internal monologue as a sort of a device for the show, that's kind of what brings the magic to the table. Like you say, they're kind of trapped at the dinner table, and that could just be very awkward, but the fact that you can kind of, at least for Mark and Jerry, get in their heads, it makes those moments when Joe and Megan sort of cross lines in Jeremy's groin, and you, seeing that kind of play out in real time inside Jeremy's head just makes that, you know, infinitely funnier than if we had just been kind of a traditional sitcom where we'd been seeing that kind of from the outside looking in. So I think they do a really great job with particularly that internal monologue writing. I mean, there's loads of great dialogue as well, but I just think they can make, you know, extra magic happen in, you know, tight spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, at number six, I have got something that we've already discussed, so we won't touch on it in too much detail. So at number six, I have got Holiday.
Cool, okay. So number six, about halfway up. Did you want to add anything? Maybe tell me why I'm wrong to have it so low?
To be fair, like you did do it a good service. Like you didn't completely tear it to shreds. And the fact that you've still got it in your top 10 is fair, I think, because it is a strong episode. And like I said, I think this would have been higher on my list had it been in a different series. It would have sort of stood out more. Like you said, any big event, so like weddings, stag do's, any of those sorts of things are always sort of a quintessential part of a British sitcom. So as soon as you get the chance to have it, it's always going to be really, really funny. In a similar, but I suppose entirely opposite way to the way that we talked about any episode where you're stuck in one location makes it a lot funnier, we've talked about how having these episodes where they're away from Croydon also makes it a lot funnier. And I think that makes it, like, they're out of their natural habitat. And I think you have to see them. This is them doing a normal thing. Like, this is a normal thing, and they do it in the most bizarre, weird way. Like, everyone goes on stag do's. Like, people go on stag do's every week of every year for like hundreds of years. And then these guys manage to end up on like a flipping canal boat playing chess against each other, flirting with these, well, one all right and one like sociopathic girl, nearly ended up getting offered a job in Bangalore. They then end up barbecuing and eating a dog before running away. Like, it is ridiculous, but I think that's where it's funny. Like, because they're doing one of the most basic things that people do in their lives, go on a stag do, and it just gets absolutely, like, ramrodded. It's just absolutely, like, they make an absolute car crash of it. And I do get what you're saying, and I think the dog scene we discussed, I remember, I can picture our conversation of talking about whether Peep Show had sort of jumped the shark at that point. And we had a long discussion around that. So I do get why people think, oh, like, is that actually that funny? Is it just a bit daft? But yeah, so sixth out of 54 episodes, I don't think it is too bad for Holiday.
No, yeah, definitely not. That brings us to my number six then, which is something you placed at number seven, so we're very closely aligned there, and that is Jeremy Makes It for me. So that is the Daryl and Gog. I don't really have, you know, too much else to add. I think you kind of summed it up really nicely. I had this above Dance Class in our series 1 and 2 rankings, and it's still there. I think the fact that it kind of maintains and builds is arguably, you know, after such a good episode in Dance Class, you think, oh wow, off to a really good start, is it going to kind of be able to maintain that? And I think it does, and even goes beyond, which is what makes series 2 you know, one of my favorites. Like I say, I'll probably have it in my top 3 series. And I just think, yeah, Gog and Daryl, bless them, not the most likable of chaps, but they kind of really make for a special episode. And it's kind of nice seeing Mark kind of get Daryl seems so great for the first sort of 5 minutes, and then to kind of watch Mark's heartbreak as we realise how evil he truly is as he gets exposed more and more. I think, yeah, just makes for a great episode. But yeah, not too much more to add that you hadn't summed up nicely. Support for podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code PEEP at manscaped.com. So why do you need Manscaped's Lawnmower 4.0? Well, we've all got our own nightmare grooming stories about shaving our nether regions. Whether it's nicks, cuts and grazes, or an unfortunate tale involving hair removal cream, it can seem like you're always a moment away from disaster. Not with the Lawnmower 4.0. After using it myself, it really does make a massive difference. It's quick, easy to use, and most importantly, I felt safe while using it. With the Lawnmower 4.0, Manscaped have engineered the ultimate groin trimmer, with their advanced skin-safe technology making you confident to shave your boys. So, if you're like Mark and are worried about your testicles looking abnormal, the Lawnmower 4.0 can give you the confidence to do something about it and make your balls feel like $1 million. So go on, start shaving your testicles like it's the most natural thing in the world, and get 20% off and free shipping with the code PEEP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code PEEP. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Brilliant. Let's head into our top five. We've been recording for like 45 minutes already. So luckily, I think some of these we have discussed. So number five, I've got series 3, episode 6, which is Quantocking.
I had this hovering around for my top 10 and I really wanted to put it in and I just couldn't quite make it happen. But this is a top episode, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's the first real sort of big thing that we have to see Mark decide how he's going to approach it. Like, he's decided he's going to propose. It's the first big life event. I know we've had, like, funerals and whatnot in the earlier series, but this is the first, like, real sort of grown-up thing that Mark's had to do. And the way he goes about it is just hilarious. Like, he's not really put any thought into how he's going to do it. He doesn't really want Jez to go, but Jez ends up going. Hans ends up going. The plan is just sort of falling apart, and Mark can't do anything to stop it falling apart. Because he just hasn't got the social etiquette, the social graces to, or the natural, like, social ability to go, all right, I'm going to adapt, like, how I'm behaving. I'm just going to become really irrational and rude, and then actually for once sort of make a headstrong decision, which is I'm not going to propose to her. Yet by the end of the episode has ended up, well, he hasn't proposed to her, has he? Like, she finds the ring and he ends up getting sort of shafted by the fact that he'd left it in his like bedside drawer in his suitcase or whatever it was. And rather than just simply say to her, it was a mistake, I'm just going to go ahead. And Jeremy quite rightly says, like, you're going to be married for the rest of your life due to embarrassment. Like, you can't do this. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, a very sort of another episode. I think I'm just looking at what I've got above this. Actually, no, none of the ones I've got above it have this feature. But like, where you're taken out of Croydon again. So it's another episode where they're not based there. You've got them out, or literally out in the wilderness. And yeah, so that's why this is in my, well, actually, yeah, in my top five.
Yeah, fair play. I wish I could have found room for this. Perhaps on another day, it would have been that, in that top 10, maybe even, yeah, higher. But you know, when I was doing it, I just couldn't quite fit it in. But I think, yeah, absolutely brilliant episode. And I like what you were saying, you know, Mark, so often, I think you described him as a sort of spineless coward earlier. And the one time where he does actually kind of buck up and is like, yeah, okay, I'm actually going to act on my true feelings, only to then kind of be rumbled by a simple mistake. And then just, I think it's just so crushing for him that he then kind of loses all of that confidence and all of that, you know, all that strength to kind of actually speak his mind. It just kind of, he dissolves in that moment. And it's pretty tragic, but all the more kind of entertaining for us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What have you got at number five? I'm feeling like you might have something that I've either not got at all or I've got higher.
Okay, well, at my number five, it probably won't come as a surprise to you. You may not have it in your top 10, but I talk about this one quite a lot. And that is Series 8, Episode 1, Jeremy Therapized.
I toyed with this one. I had it as... this could have easily got into my top 10.
For me, Jeremy Therapized is like an all-time great. I think, well, for starters, it has probably my favourite scene between Mark and Jeremy, and that is the revenge, sort of kill him with kindness curry purchase, which is just unbelievable. It gets me every time. The quick, you know, interjections with the monologues and, you know, all the niceties, you know, out loud. The Jeremy walking into the room and just thinking, like, is he fucking me? Is just absolute peak peep show for me. It gets me every single time. And I'll often rewind it to watch this scene play out again. It is just perfection for peep show. So yeah, like I say, probably my favourite scene with these two. And then you've also got, you know, the death of Gerard. It's a big, big event in peep show. We don't normally kind of, we had the death of Jez's uncle, wasn't it, way back in series one, but you know, wasn't really like a character, whereas we'd kind of grown to sort of love hate Gerard, and to see, you know, a, you know, main sort of cast member die on the show was kind of really out of the blue, even if it kind of was in keeping with his character. So yeah, big event. And then just watching Mark trying to juggle Dobby and the funeral and try and be sort of emotionally supportive and invested, even though he kind of just thought Gerard was annoying the whole time, but trying to juggle that alongside the job interview, it's just hilarious. And then to top that off, we've got a great sort of Johnsonism with the eulogy at the funeral. I just think that's kind of like the little cherry on top, and it's just kind of all-round greatness.
Yeah, you've done a very good job of of selling that one.
It also actually has one of my... I was telling my wife, like, she asked me what my top five was, and I said this one, and she also reminded me of one of my other favourite bits, and that's when Mark is waiting outside of the funeral parlour for Dobby, and he's just thinking about funeral parlours, and it's that line that's funeral parlour, massage parlour, those are the main parlours, aren't they? Except, like, I know, what's the link? Both lying down, except pizza parlour? It's just, I don't know, there's something about that that is just, I think it captures so perfectly the way kind of people's, you know, you can be doing something really serious, but your mind will just wander and something kind of nonsensical but amusing will come out. And I just, yeah, there's something about that line. I just think it's like really well written, and it just makes me chuckle every single time. And that curry scene is just like 10 out of 10.
Yeah, like I said, this could easily have been in my top 10. It certainly was one I had. I didn't write down the ones I didn't, sort of my, that didn't quite make it. But this was certainly one that when I sort of got the Wikipedia page up and I sort of scrolled through, apart from my obvious ones, to see which ones I hadn't thought of. And like, this one was certainly one that I was like, oh, could that get in there? Dance Class was another one that I sort of toyed with.
Yeah.
So yeah, good chat with that one. That's definitely, yeah, definitely one that I could have swung towards. Some of these we'll whiz through now, because my number four is Threeism, which we've talked out at length. And this could easily, again, this could have been higher. But you'll understand why it isn't when you realise what the rest of them are. So I won't go too much more into three of them. I think you and I have done a fairly good job of sort of saying how great that one is. So yeah, my number four is Series 9, Episode 3, which is Threeism. What have you got of four?
My number four is one that you also mentioned. I think this was like your number six or seven, and that is Series 6, Episode 1, Jeremy at JLB.
Perfect.
Which kind of complete, I didn't realise until I'd kind of written them all out. I really like episodes called Jeremy something. Jeremy makes it at number six, Jeremy Therapies at number five, and Jeremy at JLB at number four. And I think if you just zoom kind of back, I think you mentioned this, can't remember which episode, but if you look back at, they just fit so much into this sort of 20-something minutes. Like, we've got the, you know, the, you know, Jeremy at JLB is the title of the episode, but it, you know, actually only doesn't last very long at all. They famously get to like 11:15 or something in the working day. But that's a big deal of finally getting Jeremy to, you know, commit to, you know, a 9-to-5. And of course, it's funny because Mark's the one tying him down and making him work there. So you obviously got some funny sort of crossover stuff there. Then, of course, we've got the collapse of JLB, which is just huge. Like I was talking about, with Gerard's death, it's just kind of like these, you know, big events. And for Mark, like, this is huge. Like, we'd seen him for the first five series. This is all we'd kind of known him as in terms of his work, which features quite a lot in certainly, you know, the Mark-centric storylines. So it's a huge shift for his character, and it kind of just shatters his world a bit, doesn't it? And then, so we have that, and then we've got all of the Survivors group stuff being formed and the power quite quickly going to Mark's head. Initially, you know, he just received a promotion at work, so there's kind of this up-down, up-down. And in typical Mark fashion, you know, give him, you know, an ounce of power and he'll go a bit mad with it. And then you've got the skit show, and then the inevitable backlash when Mark kind of gets it all wrong and double-crosses and triple-crosses everyone for a bit of money, kind of look after himself. And then again, just like the Gerard's funeral, throw, you know, a sprinkling of Johnson on top, and you've got an all-time classic for me. I'm always laughing throughout Jeremy at JLB. It's just kind of, it never stops punching.
Very, very well explained yet again. I don't feel like I have to do too much talking in this episode. Right, so at number three,
the top three, bronze medal. Who
yeah,
you got?
And this might come as a bit of a surprise to you because I think you might think this would be my number one, is series, hang on, let me just check I've got the right one. Series 7, episode 4, Nether Zone.
Ooh, okay. So that was my number 9, but it gets your bronze medal.
It does. And I think, again, we've talked a lot about this episode in the past. We did a long, long episode on this when we recorded the review, and you've done a very, very good job of sort of summarising my thoughts on it at the same time when you talked about it earlier. I think the bottleneck episodes are always incredible. This is the best example of it that we have. And the even though it's not completely a bottleneck episode, sort of the last, however long, sort of probably 5 minutes of the episode are outside of the Nether Zone, if you like. It is quintessentially a bottleneck episode. And like you said, everything about it, the simplicity of everything that they've got to work with, and just the ability to have the dialogue that they have, and how quickly it degenerates from being... They're stuck in there for like a matter of hours, if that. And they're already talking about, like, where they're going to piss. Like, well, Jeremy literally does piss. Like, they're talking about where he can go to the toilet. They're talking about the potential of, like, jumping out of a window. They're talking about the conversations that you have. Like, I remember having the sort of conversations when you're talking about, not the would you have sex with me conversation, because I don't remember us ever having that conversation. But the sort of conversations that we had, like, when we went traveling around Europe, like however long ago that was, like nearly 10 years ago, like 7 or 8 years ago, like we would have those sort of conversations on the train where we'd be like, if you could go and meet anyone from history, if you could have, if you could have joined the resistance in France, would you have joined the resistance? Like, the amount of conversations we just got off on a completely ridiculous track when we were interrailing. Like, it, that felt what this was like, just but within, like, 2 minutes. And so I think that's what does it for me, is just the way that Mark reacts so quickly and so badly is just such a juxtaposition to the way that Jez is then reacting. Because he's like, nah, it's all right. And Mark says something at the end, doesn't he, where he's just like, he, like, everything's basically fine. This is basically the worst day of my life. I can't remember the exact quote, but like, he's just like, he's stressing when everything is basically fine. I can't what the quote is. I'm really fucking it up. But you know the quote I mean, as they're walking to the christening, yeah, right, so at the end.
I panic when everything's basically fine, but his world is falling apart and he thinks like, yeah, everything's great. Something words to that sort of effect.
Yeah. I think if you could pick one line to summarize both of the characters in, like, describe Peep Show in one quote, that's possibly it.
Yeah, I do think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there with that. This episode really does a great job of sort of exposing Mark and Jez's characters, and I think you mentioned that Holiday being a good episode to show newbies. I think Nether Zone would be a really good one as well, because it just really gets to the point of, you know, by the end of Nether Zone, you've got a really good idea of, like, who these two guys are, their relationship, and their kind of outlook on life. So I think, yeah, top episode.
I think possibly more like a psychological level than Holiday, though. Like, you get more inner workings of their brains, whereas, like,
yeah,
as a character, you get to see more what they're like in Holiday. What have you got at three?
Number three. This is interesting. So we're getting, you know, real crunch time now, and this means that you've got Nether Zone in your top three. That means that there's something, one of my top three isn't even in your top 10. So this is going to be really interesting. So my number three is series four,
yeah,
episode one, Sophie's Parents.
Oh, yeah, that's not even in my top 10.
Oof. See, we've been getting along quite well, but we've got a problem.
This is our second big... Well, actually, no, our third big, like, Jeremy at JLB and Threeism, we've both got quite a way apart.
Yeah, but to not even have this at all in your top 10, I feel like is... I'm guessing it must... Was it even in the running?
It was, but again, I didn't want to overload, because Conference was a similar one for me. I didn't want to overload my top 10. I could easily have had... and I'm not spoiling it by telling you that Wedding is in my top two. but like that could have easily, I could easily have had four of my top 10 could have all come from one series. So I was trying to sort of balance it out slightly.
Okay.
But this isn't an error. Like I didn't accidentally leave out Sophie's Parents. It was definitely one that could have made it.
Interesting. Yeah, in fairness, I do have three episodes. Series four has the sort of the strongest representation in my top 10 list. And yeah, series four, episode one, Sophie's Parents, comes in at number three. I just think it's the strongest series opener in out of the nine. I talked about Dance Class being a really strong opener for series two, and setting kind of the tone and the level for that series. And I think Sophie's Parents does that. But does it even better? So it was clearly going to be above Dance Class for me. It's got so much going for it. That golden rule of taking the characters away from home, and it kind of results in brilliance is true to form here. This episode just does that in spades, and it's not even like this Sophie's Parents, like their farm or whatever, you could have dropped Mark and Jez on another planet. Like, it is completely alien to them, because the Chapmans are just full-on insane, like each and every one of them, all for kind of wonderfully different reasons. You've got, you know, Ian, the kind of psychopath barn burner. You've got the mum, what's her name, Sophie's mum,
Penny,
that's it. She's the sort of promiscuous kind of argumentative type, weird seduction techniques. And then you've got Jamie, the son, who's just in a little world of his own, bless him, trying to find his way in the world, but kind of just sticking out like a sore thumb. And then, you know, arguably Sophie's kind of the sane one, but we've talked at length about how Sophie's kind of got her demons and things. So the Chapmans as a collective are just amazing for all the wrong reasons. And to see them all together, I mean, we get Ian come back multiple times. He's a great, great character. Shout out Paul Clayton. If you haven't listened to our episode with him, then go check that out. But I just think they each add something really, really great. Of course, Jamie's kind of trying to tag along with Jez because he thinks Jez is the cool kid, which in itself is a big joke. Obviously, he seduces, or maybe the other way around. We're not quite sure what goes on with Penny in the famous jam scene. And then the fact that Mark has kind of got to try and make a good impression with these kind of psychos, particularly with Ian, I just... Especially when you kind of take a step back and go, like, does any of this really matter? Because Mark is, you know, he clearly didn't mean to propose. We know that going into it. This whole thing shouldn't be happening, but it is. So it's kind of a weird, like, if it goes wrong, how much does it really matter? But Mark clearly does want to make that good impression. So there's this really funny kind of balancing act going on here that just creates a lot of tension and comedy. And I just think, yeah, it's just brilliant. There are so many great moments that, you know, Mark and the hunting, pulling the bird's head off, Jez flicking his wicked willy around and bonking Sophie's mum, and the I am James Bond. It's just kind of, yeah, one bit after another. It's just really, really fantastic, and a great start to arguably the best series.
Very good. We're down to our final two. I'm going to guess that our final two are the same.
Yes, I would say I'd guess so as well. So it's what order have we got them in?
So my number two, what do you think it is?
Well, if I say what I think it is, then that reveals mine.
Okay, so my number two is
Don't do the pause, Rob. You're not giving
me. Is Series 7, Episode 5, Seasonal Beatings.
Seasonal Beatings. That is my number two as well. So we can talk about this in complete safety.
Yeah. I don't think, again, like, there's much we need to talk about, really, with this one. I think we've talked so much about it in the past, about why it's such a good episode. And it was really interesting. As I was doing this, I thought back to when we did our rankings episode with the patrons. And there were lots of people who said it wasn't a ranking. It was just like their favourite three episodes or episodes they particularly liked, wasn't it? And a lot of them didn't do Seasonal Beatings because they were like, oh, it'd be too obvious. Like, it'd be too obvious to do that one. So a lot of people ended up not doing it. I just think it's another episode where it takes place entirely in the flat, which is always good. And it is just Christmas. I think it's so relatable because it's one of those events that everyone has done, and everyone has their particular way. And the fact that they weave that narrative of Jeremy having a miserable time because Christmas isn't being done in the way that he wants it to be done, and like the same thing with Mark, of him sort of losing his shit because Jeremy has ruined Christmas from one thing that it turns out he hasn't even not done. It's just, I struggled really hard between this and what I've got as my number one, as to whether this was going to be my number one or not. I just felt it was too cliche to have this as my number one.
No, I don't think it would have been at all. It was, yeah, it was hard for me as well. I think, yeah, you've kind of covered a lot of it, where it's so relatable, isn't it? Probably the most relatable of any Peep Show episode, to be honest, because it just, you know, Christmas is that big thing that everyone does their own way, and Sam and Jesse have really just tapped into, you know, we all dream of Christmas being perfect, but there's always, you know, the ingredients of kind of getting family together, particularly extended family, you know, things can go wrong there. You've got, you know, relationships, you've got the whole Dobby and Mark thing, you've then got the meal, kind of the big thing. It's certainly my favourite part of Christmas, and, you know, the iconic no turkey scene, and even, you know, further sort of down the scale with Mark's dad and the cauliflower, Mark shredding the meal, there's all stuff going on there. They throw the wild card of Super Hans, which I love the fact, one of my favourite parts of this is actually that Super Hans turns out to be kind of the sanest guy in the room, which I think is kind of a genius little twist that kind of just slips under the radar. I just think, yeah, there's so much going on in this episode, and they don't, none of it really feels forced or anything. Again, it's that thing, they pack a lot into the 20-something minutes. And I just think, yeah, everyone, particularly if you're British, but I think, you know, even international viewers as well, Christmas is just that kind of universal thing, isn't it, that everyone can relate to if you celebrate Christmas. So I just, yeah, this is kind of like really up there, the gold standard for Peep Show.
And whilst you were talking earlier about how your wife sort of reminded you of a specific scene in Jeremy Therapies, this is the only episode of Peep Show that my wife will watch, and we watch it at Christmas every year. And it's the only episode she'll watch because I think she can understand everything that's in it. You could watch this episode and not watch any other episode, and you wouldn't necessarily gain a massive insight into what the characters are like, but you could watch it as a standalone episode and enjoy it without really, because you've got enough of the context of it's Christmas. Like, you don't need anything else, really.
No, yeah, exactly. You've got Christmas, families coming together, friends coming together, a relationship. Even the things like the whole charades bit is great. You know, classic game for Christmas that we never, you know, we never play that the rest of the year, but for some reason it's Christmas, so we have to do it. And it just kind of captures all of that brilliantly. And Mark's mum doing the same one from, you know, years, you know, she does it every year. That's, you know, my nan does that, so I think that's sort of a running thing in most families. I think it just kind of really distills a lot about what makes Christmas Christmas, and then just kind of dials it up to an extreme, breaks the handle off, and just kind of, yeah, lets the characters kind of run away with things. It's, yeah, it's pretty perfect.
So hopefully that means that if we've done everything correctly, that we've both got the same episode as our number one. Well, not hopefully. It'd be interesting now if the one that I've got as my number one isn't even in your top 10.
It would, yeah, it'd be a real unexpected twist, wouldn't it? But I have a feeling that we are in agreement for number two and number one, which is nice. Do you want to reveal it?
Mine is series one, episode one. No, I'm joking. Is is series four, episode six, which is Wedding.
Wedding, of course. Woohoo! Yeah, I've got that here as well. And I don't, again, yeah, it's a fear of kind of just repeating myself. We talked about this at length at the time and in our series three and four ranking. But I think this is one where I don't think we'll have many, if any, complaints, because I think you might not agree with it being at number one necessarily, but I think if it's not kind of in your top three, I'd be very surprised. And I just think even if not, you can kind of understand why it's there.
Interestingly, there's a lot of people, so I put something out on social media absolutely, like, well, I say ages ago, like end of October, like way before we recorded this. And I just, first of all, want to apologise to people who, like, we got so many messages of people sending in their top 10s. It would be an extra 15 minutes just reading everyone out who'd sent it to them. But just to sort of bring it in, there's a lot of people, there's, like, very few people who have put Wedding, like, have mentioned Wedding as one of their favourites. We've got Threeism, we've got The Affair, we've got Jeremy Makes It. So, I mean, I've picked the worst person to do this to because I can't actually read their Instagram name. But this person hasn't even included it in their top 10.
Wow.
Dylan Lees, actually, who we've shouted out before, and I think I've read some of his things that he sent us on Twitter before. His is actually relatively similar to my list, and he's also got Wedding at number one. But there's certainly a mix. There's certainly a mix of people who have got Wedding within their top 10 and haven't got it. A lot of people have got The Dance Class, Dream Job, Threeism, 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 Love Bunker. Love Bunker?
Oh, dear.
Block. Jeremy at JLB, Spin War. There's a lot of love for Threeism and a lot of love for Seasonal Beatings. I've just got to read this one out from a follower called Jasmine, who messaged, said her favourite is Season 1, Episode 3, On the Pull. I sleep to it. It's my comfort episode. I love the plot. I love the characters. It's just good vibes. It ends well for Jez and Mark, in my opinion. I love it. All-time favourite. Shout out, Jasmine.
Wow.
Very good shout. But back to the task at hand. Yeah, I think without wanting to repeat ourselves endlessly about Wedding, because I think this was one of our first sort of like massively bumper episodes that we did, it has just literally got everything you want from a Peep Show episode in it.
Yeah, completely agree.
And we see them getting to the point where they're going to break apart, as in Mark and Jez, only to end up in the car together, sort of driving off into the, not even into the sunset, is it, but like, but driving off. And obviously it ends with definitely, I think, the best sign off to any episode that there is, when he just does the that's it, stick it on the bill, just like let it add it to all the other mouldering resentments. Exactly, stick it on the bill, and you're like,
yeah, it brings you kind of comfort, doesn't it? Even though all this kind of disaster has just kind of occurred, that one line to say, it's gonna be all right. Yeah, that is my favourite episode sign-off in all of Peep Show. Definitely, I made that exact note. For me, it's just, I think it's not even necessarily just like this episode. I think the reason it kind of managed to climb its way above all the others is that this is the culmination of the all four first series. And there's this sense of occasion, which any wedding kind of brings, but we've had Jez's wedding, even if it was kind of like a nonsense one to Nancy, that didn't get anywhere near my top 10. But the fact that this has been building, it's been Mark and Sophie, will they, won't they, and it's been building and building and building with the, you know, the weird proposal, and then all of series four is like, okay, they're getting married, but are they actually, you know, is he going to go through with it? And then it does pay off. I just think it could have been really hard to kind of execute that, and I just think they do it so, so well, and I think that just kind of like pushes it that extra step for me and kind of gets it to number one. I think it just really earns what it does, and I think I've talked about it before, it's that kind of seismic episode for Peep Show where the show isn't the same after Wedding. You've got Peep Show before Wedding and Peep Show after.
Yes,
Sophie's role is completely different going forward, even though she's very much still around and a key part of Mark's kind of character arc. She's no longer the kind of focus, you know, the objective to get with Sophie and live happily ever after. And I've talked about it, almost feels like in the MCU where you have these like phase one and phase two, like if I had to put Peep Show into phases, like Wedding would be the end of a phase. And then we go into series five and the introduction to Dobby and everything. But it's just this huge, huge kind of cataclysmic event that kind of then takes us into a new era of Peep Show,
the post Sophie era.
Yeah, exactly. And I think only kind of, you know, the biggest and best episodes can do that, and Wedding does it and kind of nails it in every aspect.
So there we have it.
Yeah, so I thought what I would do is I would also kind of take the general, you know, populist opinion by going to IMDb and just have a look at their top 10, and some very interesting results here.
So before you do that, do you want to read back ours from 10 to 1 just to remind it? Because we started we started doing this about an hour and a half ago. So if you've listened to this all in one go, you might have forgotten. So I'll go from my 10 to 1, and then if you go from your 10 to 1. So at 10, I've got Shrooming. At 9, I've got Jeremy at JLB. At 8, I have got Spin War. At 7, I've got Jeremy Makes It. At 6, I've got Holiday. At 5, I've got Quantocking. At 4, I've got Threeism. 3, I've got Nether Zone. 2, I have Seasonal Beatings. And my grand champion of Peep Show is Wedding.
Very nice list. So for me, number 10 is Holiday. Number 9 is Nether Zone. Number 8, Dance Class. Number 7, Threeism. Number 6, the beginning of my little Jeremy run. So number 6 is Jeremy Makes It. Number 5, Jeremy Therapized. Number 4, Jeremy at JLB. And then bronze medal goes to Sophie's Parents at number 3. Seasonal Beatings at number 2, just like you. And also just like you, number 1 is Wedding.
Lovely job. What's IMDb got to say?
Yeah, so an interesting set of results here from IMDb. So IMDb takes ratings and kind of grades it out of 10. And so from number 1 to 6, they all have different scores. So it's a clear kind of separation. 7, 8, 9 and 10 all have the same score. So what I did was I prioritised them. So the more reviews they had, to earn that 8.6, which is what the score they got, I kind of then ordered them that way.
Cool.
Just because they were sort of consistently great. So at number 10, really interesting choice, didn't feature in either of our top 10s, and that is Series 6, Episode 2, The Test, which is famously the sort of the reveal of who's the dad to Sophie's baby. And that got an 8.6 out of 10, which is very high for an episode that I don't remember all that much about.
Yeah, other than is it the introduction of Elena as well?
I think it might be.
No, she's at Jeremy and JLB, isn't she? They see her in the lift.
Oh, briefly, yeah, but it's sort of the proper introduction, I would say.
Okay, interesting. What have they got at number 9?
Yeah. Number 9 is one that featured in your list but not mine. That's Series 3, Episode 6, Quantocking, also an 8.6. I think that is very deserved.
Very nice, yeah.
At number 8, also an 8.6. This didn't feature in either of ours, and I did think about it because I did watch it early, and I thought, oh, this is a really good episode, actually, because I think it may have been a bit hard done by. That's Series 2, Episode 4, University Challenge, which is, of course, the introduction to April and the trip down to Darty.
Yeah, that was one that I debated. But again, yeah, it couldn't quite fit in there.
Yeah, I think it might have been in my sort of initial sort of 15, 17 or so, but I think I quite quickly actually got rid of it, which, yeah, maybe perhaps overlooked slightly. Number 7, also an 8.6, is Series 2, Episode 1, Dance Class. I know I had that at number 8. Did you have that at all?
No.
You did you? No. So that's quite interesting. Right, so now here we go. This is the real run where they're kind of separated. Number 6, Series 3, Episode 3, Shrooming, which you had. Where did you have that again?
I had Shrooming at number 10.
Number 10, okay, so it just crept in. I didn't have this at all, interestingly, but an 8.7 out of 10, that's a very high score. Definitely a really good episode, just not, you know, quite up there for me. Number 5 is Series 4, Episode 1, Sophie's Parents, with an 8.8. That came in at my number 3. Didn't feature for you, did it?
It did, interestingly.
Number 4 with an 8.9 is Seasonal Beatings, Series 7, Episode 5, which we both had at number 2. And then number 3, 2 and 1 are all sort of, they break the 9 out of 10 barrier. So in at number 3 is Series 9, Episode 3, Threeism, which you had at number 4, I think.
I did,
is that right?
I
had it at number 7, yeah. So yeah, IMDb has outvoted us. Number 2 with a 9.1 is Holiday, Series 4, Episode 5, which I had at number 10. You had that higher, didn't you? Number 6 or something, was it?
Yes. Yeah, number 6. Yeah.
So pretty high, but yeah, clearly the fans, as I say, you know, the dog scene is kind of iconic, like, no matter what you think of it. And I think you touched on the fact that you could kind of show this episode to anyone, and they would get a kick out of it, which I think is definitely true. But we do agree, along with IMDb, that Series 4, Episode 6, Wedding, number 1, with a 9.3 out of 10. Pretty close to perfect, really. So I think, hopefully, people listening won't kind of, you know, if you're like the, you know, the hundreds of other people that have voted on IMDb, you'll hopefully agree, or at least kind of understand why we've put Wedding at number 1.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully the people that are listening to our podcast, the same people that voted on the IMDb poll and the voted it up there, because it's just voted by general shit munchers.
Yeah, just users votes. Yeah. The shit munchers can go and vote. So if you haven't gone and you feel like, you know, well, as if Shrooming's only at number 6, you might be able to, if enough of you vote, you might be able to bump it above Sophie's Parents. Were there any on there, that top 10, that kind of surprised you?
No, I tell you what, there were some that were notable in their absence. So, like, Conference was one that I weighed up going into my top 10 that I thought might be in there. I'm thinking, like, I think New Year's Eve and Beautiful Mind are both strong episodes as well that could have ended up in there. Other than three, as in there wasn't really anything from series 9 that was going to be there. I don't know if you've got it to hand or whether you typed it out. What's the lowest ranked episode?
Oh, that is a good shout. I can get that for you.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Warring Factions.
It is Warring Factions, yeah, with a 7.5, so it's still clearly, you know, people like it a lot. I would be very chuffed with a 7.5 out of 10. But yeah, it is number 54 out of 54.
Bless them. They was just learning.
Yeah, exactly, in fairness. For me, I think, yeah, the test coming in at number 10, sneaking in with an 8.6, kind of came out of the blue for me. And a couple of others that I debated having in my top 10, I think Conference you mentioned, I came quite close to putting The Party in, you know, with Super Hans and his snake and Elena and, you know, Jeff, like all these characters, Big Sue's all kind of coming together, I thought was a really, really top episode. But I couldn't quite, that was one of the ones I was debating, like It or Holiday, and I ended up putting Holiday in because I felt it was just a bit more sort of iconic. But yeah, I think for the most part, that top 10 from IMDb, I think the people have kind of spoken pretty well.
Yeah, and I'm glad we've agreed with them.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for the most part we have. Which brings us to the end of our episode then. So, yeah, let us know what you think. I think Rob has already put a couple of posts out, but if you feel like, you know, your favourite didn't get shown any love, then, you know, tell us why, and we'll happily read those and come back to you. So yeah, let us know what you think. And yeah, I think that kind of brings us to the end. So do we want to shout out the socials?
Yeah, let's give it. We're still plugging them. We're slowly rolling towards the end, but we'll keep plugging them. And what I will do, just to follow on from what Tom said, is I'll make a little graphic once this episode's dropped. I'll do a little graphic to show what our top 10s were and how they compared to the IMDb. I'll give you a chance to listen to the episode, and then I'll do a little graphic that I'll share on the social channels. So yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook by searching for Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs, Instagram at Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs, on Twitter at Podcast Pharaohs. And if you want to email us, you can email us podcastsecretsofthepharaohs@gmail.com. And like Tom said at the beginning of the episode, we have got a Patreon account. So it's patreon.com/podcastpharaohs. And I know that it might seem sort of counterintuitive to be signing up to a podcast that's about to come to the end, but by signing up for that, you will get sort of another mini series that we've got on the Patreon, and a Patreon exclusive called the Project Zeus Files, which tap into some of the sort of the smaller, I already think we go quite niche with some of the topics, but like, even more so on there. And there is also on there the pilot for our new podcast, which we will start plugging sort of in the new year.
Definitely.
There'll be some more stuff that sort of comes out for that. So if you want to check out, it's something completely different to Peep Show. It was a lot of fun sort of diving into it. And Tom and I have been having some conversations about what we're going to do with it and sort of taking that one forward. So if you want to check the Project Zeus files out and the pilot of our new podcast, then yeah, head to patreon.com/podcastpharaohs. Again, there'll be an episode. There'll be a link in the episode description.
Absolutely. Cool. So things that are coming up then, I believe our next episode will hopefully, fingers crossed the stars are starting to align, will be our big Peep Show quiz special. So we're going to have a series 1-9 extravaganza with our wonderful patron Doug Simpson, and hopefully get Big Man Andy himself, Liam Noble, who hosts the Dobby Club quizzes. If you've taken part in any of those, you'll know all about it. So yeah, hopefully we're going to do a big quiz to kind of see off now we've, you know, finished series 9. So we're looking forward to doing that. So yeah, stay tuned. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that will be arriving in your podcast feeds.
Yeah, well, you're listening to this on what, Saturday the 27th. We're fingers crossed recording this episode with Liam Noble on the 28th. So if all goes to plan, then we'll have a bumper quiz. And then, yeah, so we've got a couple more episodes that are sort of, I feel like we can talk about them now. They're sort of relatively lined up, but we won't sort of give any firm dates because we've got the Christmas period coming up and we always know that's going to be busy. So yeah, Tom said the next episode will definitely be the quiz. And then we've got an episode where we're going to discuss the role of women in Peep Show. It's something that Tom and I have sort of skirted around the topic of slightly as two men talking about a show about two men. So we're going to do an episode focused on the role of the women in Peep Show, and we're going to bring some of our female patrons to help us navigate that, and also for them to talk about watching Peep Show from a woman's perspective. I imagine it's a different, maybe a slightly different experience watching it as a woman than it is watching it as a man. And then we are going to, I say round off, I don't really want to say round off because that means it is finally coming to an end, but we're going to round off our Peep Show run, our final ever episode, by popular demand. It wasn't actually something that Tom and I had even thought about doing until a few people messaged us on social media and suggested doing it, which is a series 1 episode 1 rewind. So sort of going back and watching Warring Factions again. Don't worry, we're not going to go all the way back to the beginning and start like the whole show again just on an infinite
loop.
There
were a few calls for that, in fairness. There were, yeah. Which seemed a bit mad.
So we won't go right back and do it all again, but we're going to watch Warring Factions again with the benefit of like 3 years of doing this podcast now. And then, do you know,
I think it might be a slightly sort of more concise version. I think it might be a bit more of a sort of watch along.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of doing that. I kind of like the idea of watching it as we're talking about it.
I think so as well.
And no pausing Netflix every 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, that will kind of bring us full circle, I think, was the aim with that. And as I say, that we kind of put that out there as a bit of an idea, and people kind of really latched onto it. So we appreciate people kind of letting us know what they think. We hope you get a kick out of it. I think we will as well, going back after all this time, like you say, 3 years, to kind of end up back where we started seems quite fitting, to kind of round us off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I have as well. Some really interesting conversations. Not too many upsets either, which is nice. I think we've arrived in a pretty good place. So yeah, let us know what you guys think as well, by hitting us up on the socials that Rob shouted out earlier. But until then, we will see you next time for hopefully the big Peep Show quiz. So thank you very much for listening from me, and thank you very much for joining me, Rob.
Bye.